God loves me. He unashamedly, unconditionally loves me. Amen. And there's not anything under the sun, I don't care how horrible or horrendous that I could do, to cause him not to love me. I can do things to separate myself from him, but he'll never separate himself from me.
God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland shares the reasons why knowing and believing God's love for you is so important. Now, here's Kenneth.
Let's open our Bibles tonight, first of all, to the book of 1 John, Little John. Not the Gospel of John, 1 John. And we'll go to chapter 4, 1 John 4. Oh, there's a lot of good things coming tonight, praise God. There's going to be just a whole bag full of questions are going to be answered tonight. And a lot of things straightened out in our thinking. I'm so excited about this. I know what it's done for me, and I know it'll do this for you. In 1 John 4, and let's begin. Oh, my goodness. I start to read a verse, and then the next one above it looks so good. Let's begin with the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Now, that word know there is the same one that was over in Ephesians 3 last night. It means everyone that is born of God, everyone that loves is born of God and has a relationship with Him. Praise God. That's exciting to me. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Now that is say you're not born again. No, that's not what that's referring to. Look at it again. He that does not practice love, he doesn't practice it, he doesn't walk in it, he doesn't have any relationship with God, because God is love. Now, you may be born again and not have much relationship with God. Churches are full of people that Jesus is their Savior, but he is not the Lord of their life. And he is certainly not the high priest of their life. Well, that's being changed. Amen. And of course, you and I are not like that. Now then, let's continue to read. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent him to be our pattern. He sent him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected or developed in us. How? Through our loving. Through our loving. Now see, we have a tendency to take these things out one verse at a time, but this is all one discourse. He said, if we are practicing, and this is going to be the key issue tonight, if we are practicing the love of God, if we're committed to be stewards of that commandment of love, and we are practicing it, God is love, and one that loveth is born of God and has a relationship with God. If he's not practicing that love, then he doesn't have any relationship with God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. His desire for our relationship was before we ever knew it. We're not having to talk God into having something to do with us. It was his desire for a relationship with you before you ever knew him. That's enough to make you run around the room right there, Brother Frank. God. See, that just flips this old religion idea upside down that says, oh, God, and all of that junk. When all the time he was desiring a relationship with you in the first place. Amen. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is developed in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And you might write out beside that, he is the Spirit of love. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. God is alive in him. And he in God. Now, hey, let we continually look at God dwelling in me. My desire for him to be alive in me. For me to have a relationship with him in me. But I'm also in him. He has a desire to fellowship with me. He has a desire to know me better. He has a desire for why I'm in him. Look at it from his view. That's what this man is doing here. That's what he's writing to us. God loved you first. He wanted you in him. Let's continue reading here. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, he lives in him, is alive in him, and he in God. And we have known. That's that same word there. Let me say it to you like this. We have experienced his desire for a relationship in us when we got born again. We experienced something. We came to know him, not just know about him, right? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But now look at the rest of it. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. Now that's where most of the failure is right there. It's not developing a strong, abounding faith that God loves me. He unashamedly, unconditionally loves me. Amen. And there's not anything under the sun, I don't care how horrible or horrendous that I could do, to cause him not to love me. I can do things to separate myself from him, but he'll never separate himself from me. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. Now, get this strong. Get it down in you. Say it right now. God is love. Therefore, love is not weak.
He is not weak.
Jesus was not a victim.
Come on.
Strongest man that ever lived. Amen. Hallelujah. He was not a victim. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love developed or made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. On the day of judgment itself, you will have no fear. Because you're connected. You shouldn't have any more concern about the day of judgment than he does. Why? Because you got judged with him. Hallelujah. You got judged with him. Amen. Boy, that's exciting, man. I'll tell you what, that's exciting. Now then, there is no fear in love. Perfected, developing love casteth out fear. Now, I've noticed this. I've noticed people attempting to cast fear out in the name of Jesus. Now you can shut it up. You can put it down. You can cast the spirit of fear completely out of your presence. But without the love of God, you can't get it out of you. You understand that? The perfected or developing love that's born in you at the time you made Jesus the Lord of your life. We just got through referring to that. It's in there. See, you do not have fear in your spirit right now unless you put it in there. That's not easy to do. You can do it. You can get self-deceived through fear. You can get over into unbelief and unforgiveness to the point where you continue to say it and you continue to act on it until you can transfer it from your mind and from your soul, the soulish part of you, your will, your emotions. That's where fear really works, is in your emotions. And your mind, your emotions, and your will. And you can feed it down into your spirit. But if you repent, confesseth the sin of unforgiveness, confess the sin of violating that commandment of love. Jesus, right here in 1 John, right there in the first two chapters, said he's faithful and just not only to forgive you, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, as you begin then, at that moment, you begin to confess the love of God. You begin to confess your love for the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your neighbors, yourself, and to love one another even as he loved us, and obey that, and you begin to confess that, and you begin to act on that love, and you begin to practice it and put it into force. I'm telling you, it'll flush the fear out of there so fast it'll make your head swim. It can't live with God, particularly when he's strengthening your spirit with his might in your inner man. Ooh. Man, you missed a place to shout right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, yes, sir, I'll do that. The Lord just changed my direction here for a moment. But this is so prevalent in our time and in our society, it needs to be dealt with. And I didn't realize how strongly it needed to be dealt with until I began ministering to the military. And I preached at Fort Drum, the headquarters installation in Fort Drum, New York, of the 10th Mountain Division. And then at Fort Bragg and a lot at different places, and including West Point. And the Lord began to bring up a pattern here, and I could see it. I had learned it years ago, and I walked in it myself, but I had not ministered it to people as strongly as probably I should have. But anyway, and that is this. How can you love and go to war? How can you love and be an armed police officer and do what the 13th chapter of the book of Romans says? He does not wear the sword in vain. That's right. Is God involved? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm going to say something that it ain't going to be all that churchy. I believe in war. I'll just let that soak in on you a little. What did he say? I said, I believe in war. And the reason I believe in war is because it's scriptural, but only according to God's word. Not the way the Babylonian system fights wars out there. That's wars and rumors of wars and all that trash. But now here, I'll just wrap it up for you like this. In the course of human events, mean, ungodly, demon-possessed people bring so much oppression and so much depression and so much death and pain and heartache that local law enforcement cannot handle it. That's when God raises up an army and puts it as stop. That's when the Prince of Peace becomes the man of war. So the whole point is you walk in the commandment of love right into combat, because you don't get out of love. We have a covenant with God. He's covenanted to protect you. He's covenanted to take care of you. And he has people to do that job. Now, you are covenanted with him for every day of your life. Amen. And you ought to walk in love all the time. Amen. I've had testimonies of guys that got back to me that were planning to take me down, man. I mean, they were coming after me, but they never got to me. There was one man got mad at me one time in a church I was preaching, got up and stormed out. Man, he was so mad. Didn't plan to ever come back. And the Lord told him, said, you go back over. No, I ain't going back in there. He said, I ain't listening to nothing that man puts out. The Lord said, you go back over there. He said, I'll go back for one service and that's all. Well, he came in the back door and sat down in the first seat right there just next to the door where he could run again, you know. And I'm doing just like I am now. I was down there right in front of that small church building. And I was down here in front just preaching along. He hadn't been sitting back there over about 10 minutes. And I saw it. I'm telling you, all the color drained out of his face. His eyes got big and his mouth dropped open. And he looked like somebody had just knocked him cold. He just sat there like that. Nearly the whole service. And finally, at the close of the service, he just kind of got up and staggered out of there. I thought, what happened to him? I wondered why he ran off the 2 or 3 days ago. And now he's back. And I thought, oh, well, something's happening with him. Well, a few days later, he came out and he said, Copeland, I know you're wondering about me. I said, yeah, matter of fact, I have been. What's going on? Well, he said, you said something that really made me mad. And he said, I left in a huff and got mad and full of strife and acted ugly and talked ugly. And he said, took a couple of days for the Lord to get back through to me. And so the Lord wanted me to come back. And he said, I came back for one service. And he said, I was sitting there mad at you, just looking for some way to get out of here. He said, all of a sudden, he said, God opened my eyes, I guess. He said, Copeland, I don't know whether you know this or not, but there's a fella that follows you all the time. I said, is that right? Yeah, he said, he follows you all. Said, he's a big fella. Said, he's taller than you are. And said, he stands there like that. And said, he just stuck so close to you, you can't move without him. Said, he just, looks like he's fastened to you. And he said, you'll just rip off into something and get all excited. And he said, you'll start winding down a little bit. And he'll lean over there and say something in your ear. And you take off again. He said, the only way I can describe him, he said, you know those commercials about that guy on that cleaning stuff? That big guy in that white suit standing there with that bald head? I said, Mr. Clean? He said, Mr. Clean. He said, that's who he looked like. Looked like Mr. Clean. He said, standing, he ain't got a hair on his head. And said, whoa. He said, I can tell you right now, ain't nobody got no business messing with you. Amen. Well, you have a personal angel and assisting angels. So don't ever have any fear. You believe in the love of God. You develop the love of God. Why, God can tell you to go anywhere. You are well protected, well taken care of. But don't ever let anything like strife and fear and a disobedient mouth get between you and your God-given protection of the blessing wall and the angels that are sent there to do business for you. Amen. Now, they're there. They won't leave. But there are things that you can do and say to cause them to just be inactive. Because there are certain things you can do and say they can't support. But I'll guarantee you the devil will follow you with one that will. You're like a king in a court. You are the confirming witness. Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. Now, that's true in your life. And you're the confirming witness. God and His Word. You speak His Word. Now you have confirmed it, and now your angels are in action. They're engaged. They'll implement it. But now you say something that's not God's Word. Jesus is not the high priest over it, see. He's Lord over sickness and disease, but He's the high priest of healing. And when you start saying things that are not in that category, then you have become witness, and the devil in charge of sickness where you're concerned, his assignment from Satan, his leader and contractor, has assigned him to bring sickness and disease to you, and you say that, well, I don't know why it is. Every time we start to go somewhere when these kids get sick and look like every year I come down with the flu. Well, you've released assignment. You have authorized flu and the spirits that back it to live in your presence. You understand what I'm saying? But when you walk in the love of God, you understand God is love? Say it again. God is love. Say it one more time. God is love. Now turn over to the Gospel of John. Are you hearing some things? All right. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, are you there? All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, remember, God is love. Now, right there in the same 1 John, it says, God is light. Now, we know He began by saying, light be, light was, right? Now, He is love, He is light, and He is life. He is the source of all life. If He were to turn off, everything would dematerialize and cease to exist. He is life.
I spent 4 years in college, and I graduate this year.
I was looking forward to retiring soon.
Look at the economy.
I've lost all of my retirement.
People are being laid off right and left.
Now what?
What if I can't even find a job?
In a world of uncertainty, many people are living in fear. But the Bible tells us that there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Are you walking in love or walking in fear? Kenneth Copeland Ministries presents The Love Factor, Living Life Without Fear, a teaching CD series. Through practical and insightful teaching, Kenneth Copeland will show you the importance of love and how you've been born into a family of love. Don't let fear contaminate your faith. Remember, you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Factor in God's love and decide to live life without fear today. To order your copy of Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, The Love Factor, log on to kcm.org and order online. This teaching is now available for just $15. To order by phone, you may call us toll-free at 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Factor in God's love and make the decision to live life without fear. Order your copy today.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I want you to know that my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland, is one of my absolute favorite teachers in all the world. And I'm sure some of you agree with me, but I have grown up on this stuff. And I want to offer you something today, one of the best teachings, one of the best things that he's ever taught about, and that is the love factor, the love of God, living life without fear. There is no fear in the love of God. You need to get a hold of this. You need to be filling yourself with this, because as believers, God has not rejected us. God has not forgotten us. God has not abandoned us. God is with us and God is for us, and it's His love in us that tells us that. Now, in the broadcast that you watch today, you heard my grandfather talking to us about learning things, how to practice the love of God. The love of God is something that you and I are to practice day in and day out, growing in it, developing a strong sense of faith in the love of God. And God's love for us is unconditional. It's never failing. It's never weak. God is love. He is the Spirit of love, and God is love in you. Now, the first step in receiving the love of God is receiving the gift of God. For God so loved the world that what did He do? He gave Jesus. He gave you Jesus. And the Word says that if you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that He will come to dwell in you and you will dwell in God. God is in the cleansing, forgiving business. That's who He is and that's what He does. If you've never said, Jesus be the Lord of my life, then pray that with me right now. Say, oh God in heaven, I confess my sins before You. Cleanse me and make me new. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died for me, and I believe He rose again. Jesus be the Lord of my life, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, then I want you to know something. You are born again, you belong to God, and He belongs to you. All of heaven is rejoicing with you, and we are rejoicing with you as well. And my grandparents want to send you something absolutely free. If you prayed that for the first time, then call us, write us, get online, and get your salvation package. Just a few books to get you started reading your Bible, getting into the Word of God. You need this, get a hold of it. This is Jeremy Pearsons reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and like Kenneth and Gloria always say, Jesus is Lord.
If you've made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, the blessing is at work in your life right now. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you 5 books free. Log on to kcm.org to request your free salvation package today.